Activist Radio is on the air.
You've tuned in to the Mark Harrington Show, sponsored by Created Equal.
Mark is training a new generation of leaders
to take on the culture of death and win.
You don't like abortion, don't have one.
The only thing that can be said to be objective truth is that there is no objective truth.
It does come out in one piece. It comes out in one piece.
I would argue that we certainly are not all created equal.
And now, here's Mark.
Hey, Mark Harrington here, coming to you live from the Created Equal Studios here in Columbus, Ohio. And we've come to you every Thursday at 1 p.m. on Facebook, on the Created Equal Facebook page, on the Mark Harrington personal private page, as well as YouTube and Periscope. So mark your calendars every Thursday at 1 p.m. here on these social media platforms. Well, today we're going to be talking about the increase in pro-abortion vandalism, violence, and just overall protests against peaceful pro-life activities like the ones that Created Equal. This has been happening for several years, but we've seen an uptick most recently after the inauguration of Donald Trump that happened in January. Ever since the election of Mr. Trump as President of the United States, there has been, as you well know, there have been protests all across the country on different issues. Mostly, though, in part, on the pro-life position of Mr. Trump. So this has been happening ever since November. Then with the inauguration on January 21, this is what then ushered in a series of protests that have been going on around the country ever since. And, of course, Created Equals at the inauguration of Mr. Trump, where we called him to keep to his promises to the pro-life community. And we are along the parade route when Mr. Trump came by in his motorcade that day on January 20th, where he took the oath of office. And the day after that event, the day after the event at the in Washington, the inauguration of Donald Trump, there was a March for Women, which was initially billed as a million women's march, a million woman march. But they changed that when they were concerned that they wouldn't have a million people there. So they called it the March for Women on D.C. They started a Facebook page. This was right after the election of Donald Trump, and it grew from there organically. Several hundred groups signed on to the effort, and this happened on January 21st, the day after the inauguration, this Women's March on Washington. Created Equal, our organization, were there in protest along with Students for Life of America and some other pro-life groups were there in protest of the Women's March. And here's why. Because you don't have to, if you're a pro-lifer and you're a female, a woman, then you can't necessarily, if you're one of those folks, then you have to hold to the abortion position. The phone's ringing right now, so we'll have to ignore that. But that was the problem. So pro-life groups who were female or had females within them, some of them wanted to join the march themselves and wanted to march along with them, but wanted to bring the pro-life position, groups like New Wave Feminists and others. And they were all banned from it. They weren't allowed. They were disallowed once they applied. And that made big news and started a national discussion about what it meant to be a feminist. Are all feminists pro-abortion, or can you be pro-life and also be a feminist? Those are the kind of debates that took place. But this March on Washington was a massive event. According to the website for the march, there were 673 total events across the globe that day. 4 million people participated in these protests across the country. And from what we can tell, 32 of those, at least, 32 of those are overtly identified solely with the abortion issue. So this really was a pro-abortion march for all intents and purposes. It was an anti-Trump march as well, but it was a pro-abortion march, and there were pro-abortion groups supporting it. Among those, Planned Parenthood, of course, was listed as the exclusive premier sponsor of the March for Women on D.C. Of course, the National Abortion Rights Action League, Emily's List, and others were listed. And, of course, Cecile Richards spoke, as well as Gloria Steinem. These are the standard bearers of the pro-life or pro-abortion movement, and therefore they were there in force, of course. And from our perspective as activists there at the march itself, and as a veteran activist myself who's been doing this for several decades, I've been to almost every kind of march or event, pro-abortion type event that imaginable. But even for a veteran like myself, this was the most vile, hateful, mean-spirited event that I've ever seen. I mean, the signs themselves, I can't even show you on our program today because of the content of some of them. It's just unbelievable the level of hate and anger that is being levied against those who protect human life at conception, that is, pro-lifers. But the event was a huge event. Of course, here's a photo of one of our activists and then a pro-abortion advocate at the march itself. And then the video, which we also have, here's a great picture as well. This person's not mincing any words. I mean, when you talk about people hating people, this is it. He says, "I actually hate you," instead of just hiding behind the issue of so-called tolerance. They were overt in their anger and hatred towards pro-lifers. So what I want to do is I'm going to play a short clip. This is kind of a compilation of some of the activities that took place that day as we were protesting at the March for Women. Go ahead and play that video clip. Now you're going to hear a young lady just scream her lungs out here in a second. There they are. We're right behind this group right here. Here we go. I think she's yelling "wrong" is what she's actually saying. Here you have a pro-choice woman trying to intervene and call this person to be a little more calm.
Absolutely, I'm on your side, but no,
don't give a shit. She shouldn't be here. Get out of here. You're disgusting.
By the way, I hated to hold it for a minute there, Mr. Producer. Hold it for a second. A lot of these clips, by the way, there's going to be a lot of profanity, just to warn you. This isn't going to be for the sleight of heart. So just so you know, a lot of the videos we're going to play are going to include a lot of profanity, unfortunately. That's just how they talk. That's how these people talk. Go ahead and play the clip. No, not at the beginning. Don't play the clip at the beginning, if you could.
You just said you want me dead, sir. That's really
No, not that far down. Let me move it back a little bit, if you would, please.
I'm totally pro-choice.
Right there.
Absolutely, I'm on your side, but
no, don't give a shit. She shouldn't be here. Get out of here. You're disgusting. You're all fucking disgusting. You're here. All of you need to go. And no one needs to see this bullshit on your sign. Why don't you look at dead bodies of women who died from illegal abortions? Why don't you put up pictures of those women?
Your mother's done the right thing. You wouldn't be here. Thanks,
God. Good job, girl.
Well done, girl.
You just said you want me dead, sir. That's really hateful.
You know what? Your mother's done the right thing. We wouldn't be happy to listen to you.
And killed me, really. Well, my mother had six kids.
Hey, Sam, we're going to...
And they all oppose this.
Ma'am, this is our personal property.
You. Get it. Leave her alone.
Six kids.
This is
Leave
our personal
her alone.
Property,
no,
sir.
It's not. Show me the permit.
On it.
Show me the permit.
Well, you don't need
to have
our
own property.
Here with our own sign. Yeah. That means you would need a permit to be here with this sign, sir. This is our personal property. We're going to take it back over to our
no,
group.
No, you're not.
If
she's
you guys
standing on
leave.
It. You'll have to move her. How about that?
So you're impeding on our rights.
We're impeding on your rights.
We are, okay. We're going to call the police.
Go we'll call the police.
And call the police.
Please call the police.
Sam, you should go.
Well, there you go. If you didn't notice there, at the end of that video, a pro-abortion protester stole one of our signs and was standing on it, and then this man comes up and says that Sam Riley, one of our staff persons at Created Equal, that he should have been aborted. That's what he said, that he should have been aborted. In other words, it would have been better off he was dead. I mean, that's how these people think out there. And then, of course, they got into a debate about permits and all this kind of thing. They ended up leaving the sign behind. They didn't steal the sign, thankfully, but that's what we encountered, a little bit of it, just a piece of it, at the March for Women in Washington, D.C. on January 22nd. And so afterwards, I thought to myself that I would have loved for every pastor in America to be teleported there, kind of like in Star Trek, teleported to Washington, D.C., just for a half hour, just to see what the opposition really looks like and how they behave. Because I don't think people really understand what we're up against here. We kind of discount the opposition as not being organized, not being active, not being involved, not being willing to do a lot to defend their so-called right to abortion. That's what we do. We write them off a lot of times, and we believe that we have the grassroots. Well, I can tell you this. I was at that march, and they're ramping up. I mean, they're ready to go. They're out on the streets. They were there in force. In fact, the March for Women in D.C. on January 22nd, which was primarily a pro-abortion march, was the largest march I've ever been to. And by far the largest pro-abortion march in U.S. history. In fact, it's bigger than any of the March for Life that I've been to over the last 20 years. And so I'm saying that not to discourage people, just to let you know that this is what we're up against. And these people don't play by the rules. They don't play by the rules. They'll shut you down. They'll shout you down. And if necessary, they'll vandalize your stuff and possibly even violently attack you in order to keep us from making progress. So we need to take them seriously. Those of us that underestimate what's going on here on the other side of the equation, the opposition to Donald Trump and the pro-life movement, are doing that to our own detriment. Bottom line is this: they weren't bussed in, they weren't some groups or whatever, they weren't just funded by George Soros. That's a way for us just to write it off as a one-time thing. No, this was an organic march, and you got to give them a lot of credit. They came out in force in short order and really turned out the numbers and drove the narrative after the inauguration of Donald Trump. And if it weren't for a couple of organizations, including Created Equal, there would have been no pro-life representation there at all. And so that's what happened at the March for Women. Now, right after that, and actually it was prior to that, myself and Eric Scheidler and Dr. Monica Miller began talking about organizing another national protest for Planned Parenthood, against Planned Parenthood. National protest of Planned Parenthood, and we arrived on the date of February 11. And this was right after, on the heels of the March for Women in Washington, D.C., and we planned for this protest PP to take place all across America. And so we organized this, and frankly, there was discussion about this increase in protests, increase in violent attacks, increase in vandalism by the other side, by the opposition, and how we might best handle that. But thankfully, on February 11, we had a great turnout across the country. We had 220 individual locations, individual cities, if you will, or individual Planned Parenthoods who were protested simultaneously across the country. And the numbers were around 15,000. Now, of course, this all began about a year and a half ago in 2015 when the Center for Medical Progress, that is David Dalyden, came out with his videos. And since then, we have been organizing these protest PP events across the country. So on February 11, like I said, we had 220 locations, 15,000 protesters. in some locations, I will say, we were outnumbered. I mean, in Detroit and other places, the pro-abortion forces came out, and they outdid us. They outperformed us that day. And so what we've got to be prepared for is, as we go forward, this could be the new normal, and I think it might be, that we're going to see increased protests against the pro-life movement, against the pro-life issue and pro-life groups like ourselves. And we've got to be prepared for that. We've seen demonstrations across the country since then. At the protest PP events, here's a couple of signs that were displayed at that event. Here's Witches for Reproductive Freedom. This took place in Minneapolis, Minnesota, at protest PP. You can tell that, I mean, this is probably, I don't know, maybe they are witches. Bottom line is, it's fairly satanic, to say the least. Witches for Reproductive Freedom. I guess that tells us all we need to know. And there was also vandalism of a pro-life, an office of a pro-life organization in Minneapolis called the Pro-Life Action Ministries. My good friend Brian Gibson runs this organization. The words have been scratched out here, at least the profanity. But this was what met Brian Gibson at his office after the protest PP event on February 11. The bottom line is this. The pro-abortion movement is mobilized, they're organized, and they are out in the streets protesting pro-life activities across the country. And we need to be aware of that and be prepared for that. Also, as we're going to show in the next several minutes here, it's not the pro-life movement that's violent. Okay, we are the peaceful ones. In fact, the pro-life movement is the most peaceful social action movement in history, bar none. Compared to the civil rights movement, compared to any anti-war movement, we are the most peaceful, most respectful, most civil movement in American history. And that's been proven out throughout the 45 years since we've been fighting against Roe versus Wade. It's the pro-abortion movement that's violent. It's the pro-abortion movement that doesn't play by the rules. It's the pro-abortion movement that are unlawful. And they're the ones that attack us. Of course, it goes to figure, doesn't it? If they support the dismembering, decapitation, and disemboweling of an individual human being in utero, it goes to figure that they would also believe it's okay to attack those who defend them and maybe even vandalize their equipment. So this shouldn't be a surprise to any of us, but we're seeing a trend, and it's an uptick, an increase in this violence across the country. And so what I'm going to do here in the next several minutes is play a couple of video clips, starting with our outreach at high schools around the country. This video was taken at Gahanna High School here in Columbus, where a man was upset the fact that we would go to the high school and try to educate students, high school students, these are the same students that are having abortions, by the way, about abortion. So go ahead and play that clip.
What? You going to harass high school kids?
What do you mean?
No! Stop! You going to harass high school kids?
No, we're here to show the shooting.
Sir? Sir?
You will not film me at all. You don't have my permission. You don't have my permission to film me at all. No.
This is violent. What are you doing?
It's not violent. You don't have my right to film me.
All right. So now get that. He attacks us. He said this isn't violent. I mean, you can tell by the video it's violent, that he's taking Sam Riley's one of the people there, Ian Spencer, one of our staff persons, physically attacking them because they're going to display abortion victim photos in front of a high school, and that they dare to reach out and educate students at a high school campus. Which, keep in mind, these students aren't, you know, they're 15, 16, 17, 18 years old. A lot of these young people are sexually active. They're having abortions. They should be able to see what it looks like. But he also objected to the fact that we were filming him, and I'll get into that in a minute. Just as a rule of law, basically, the standard is that a person loses the reasonable expectation of privacy in a public area. And that's why we wear these GoPro video cameras. All of our staff wear them 24/7 because they capture everything that's going on. All right, moving on. That's the high schools. Moving on to some of the attacks that we've recently seen at college campuses across the country. This attack took place at Ohio University last fall, where a hooded, jackbooted thug came out with a bat and began to beat up on one of our signs. Go ahead and play that clip.
Sir, you do not have a right to touch our equipment. Please back away from our equipment.
Sir, you have no rights.
There you go. This young man, unfortunately, police were not present. We were unable to identify him and bring him to justice. But he was wearing a hood and a mask. Doesn't that resemble someone? It resembles ISIS to me, right? A lot of these folks wear scars. They don't want to be identified. Why? Because they do things illegally. And he carries a bat around with him. So that's at Ohio University. Just this past Monday, one of the most violent attacks we've ever seen against our equipment took place at Texas State University. Our good friends and partners at Love of Truth Ministries, that's Daryl Rodriguez down there in San Antonio, Texas, went out to Texas State University, and they do this routinely. They take out created equal signs that show prenatal images of preborn children and abortion imagery. And so this happened on just this Monday. This happened on Monday. This video has gone viral, millions of views across the country. This shows the true heart of the abortion movement. By the way, hold on a minute, Mr. Producer. Again, I just want to caution you again that a lot of profanity in this one. So just be prepared. Go ahead and play the video. I'm sorry.
Get the fuck out of here with this bullshit, man. No, you don't. This is fucking bullshit. Get the shit out of here.
Now, it's interesting, what he calls wrong is the display of abortion victims, not abortion itself. It's not wrong that these children are being dismembered. It's not wrong that they're being decapitated. It's not wrong that they're getting murdered. That's not what he's upset about. He's upset that somebody might show it. Now, I have two comments on this. Obviously, as we watch this, this man has some type of history related to abortion, more than likely has participated indirectly by maybe taking his girlfriend or someone to an abortion clinic to kill a child. Therefore, he has he's trying to cope with this in some way, and obviously he's very angry that we would oppose abortion. So he's likely or post-abortive, and therefore we have to be in prayer for this young man that he would find healing in Jesus Christ, the only place that it comes from, and that he could come to resolution over his abortion and realize that it's not the unforgivable sin, and that he could seek healing and forgiveness through Jesus and be completely restored. That's our number one priority, is that we would be able to identify him and that he might be able to seek out the services necessary and counseling and so forth to come to grips with what has happened in his past and then be healed from it. Number two is we are still attempting to identify him and press charges. There have been a report has been filed with the police department there at Texas State, so we're still attempting to notify him. Anybody that knows who this young man is, if you could contact me, I would appreciate it. We would like to bring him to justice for destroying the signs, make sure that these signs are paid for, and that Daryl Rodriguez in Love of Truth Ministries gets paid back for the signs. But most of all, we need to make sure that he's taught a lesson and that others around the country that do this will know that they're going to be prosecuted if they attack our displays, and they're not going to get away with this kind of thing. That's important, that we go to the full extent, that we identify them, we prosecute them. Now, here's a caveat to that. If any one of these individuals sincerely apologizes, and it's heartfelt, then we will forgive them and only ask that they pay us back for what's been damaged. But We're not out to punish people just for the sake of it. We want to make sure that people learn their lesson. But this just goes to the point again that I'm trying to make today, and that is the other side is losing. And because they're losing, they're resorting to these violent attacks, vandalism, and villains like this jackbooted thug with a bat and this man at Texas State and all across the country are feeling that it's necessary to act out unlawfully. And this is happening more and more, and this is a trend across the country, and it's something we need to be aware of. Now, this last video clip I'm going to play took place here in Columbus on an overpass in Columbus most recently. Again, I believe this man is post-abortive, that he had some connection to abortion, but he also draws attention to the issue of his child, his young child, seeing the abortion images. And let me address that in advance. Again, there's a lot of profanity in this, unfortunately, but let me address that in advance. It's been my experience that people that object to the use of our abortion victim photos in public by saying that it affected their child or their child screaming or crying or that their young person or their young child is having nightmares and all that stuff. We don't know whether that's true or not, but my experience is that young children don't react that way. They don't not necessarily understand what they're seeing. They need an explanation. What I've seen young people react to these pictures, what they'll do is come up and say, "Who broke the baby?" or "What happened to the baby? Why is the baby broken?" And that gives an opportunity for a parent to actually give it some context and understand and teach them that we live in an evil world, that bad things happen to people, including young children, and that their parents would never do this to them, and that they would actually go to the extent to defend others like them. So that's the kind of thing that needs to be communicated. But in many cases, when pro-abortion protesters act out violently because they think that they're protecting their children from the violent images of abortion, a lot of times that's not true. It's just a cover. It's a cover. It's kind of like when Islamic terrorists use children as human shields when there's a bombing raid or what have you. They use them as shields and then claim that the children were targeted by the bombing raid itself, which generally is not the case. It's a similar tactic happening with pro-abortion protesters that use children as a shield or an excuse to say that we shouldn't use these pictures in public. So let's play this last clip. This one's very, very difficult to watch. This took place on a overpass here in Columbus recently.
Go tell Sarah to go down.
Now the man's walking up onto
the. Get in there.
We've already profiled him. We know that he was probably going to do something unlawful, and then he just goes berserk.
Sick of my kid crying on the way to school because of your imagery.
Sam.
No, okay,
I'm
my
sorry,
kid
sir.
Cries on the way to school
okay,
because
sir,
of
don't
this
listen.
Shit.
Hey, sir, we're gonna call the police.
Do it.
I'm sorry for your child, sir, but you have no
my
right to
child
do this.
You're not having an attack. I'm tearing
you call
down
the police?
Your
imagery. Sir, we just pressed charges on someone for doing this last month. We're sorry about your child, but this is
fuck
happening
you.
To born children.
All right. We can end it there. Now, let me ask you this question. What are the odds of a young child coming underneath an overpass at 60, 65 miles an hour, looking up at these images and crying? I mean, It's unlikely. I don't want to totally discount it because I know it's possible that they could comprehend what they're seeing. But for the most part, these things happen and these attacks happen because it disturbs the attacker, the person, and they have been involved in abortion in one way or the other. So the overpasses are a very difficult place for us, and we're considering taking additional measures. Just to wrap all this up, let me just say this. Again, we're seeing a trend with the pro-abortion movement. It's more violent, vandalism, attacks personally against us and our property. We're seeing protests increase at our events, shutdown attempts to just censor across the country. We saw that at Berkeley recently. We saw that at other campuses across the country, just the attempts to shut down free speech are happening across the country. These attacks are happening. And so we need to be ready for all this stuff. And it created equal. We are ready as much as possible. We have a protocol in place. We have a security protocol in place that includes making sure that we're taking care of capturing everything on video, contacting police in advance, law enforcement, let them know where we are, what we're going to be doing, so that they can either send out a law enforcement officer to be visibly on site to prevent or deter these kinds of things. So as much as possible, we try to have the police department come out. We are trained in our own way to in security, in the sense of what kinds of things we need to do to make sure that these events are reduced, so they don't happen as often as they are. The other things we're considering, and we probably will do, and many people across the country ought to consider this as too, when you have a pro-life event right now in the era of Trump, with the opposition the way it is, it may not be a bad idea to hire your own private security. But bottom line is this, when it happens, be ready, report it, prosecute people, and then leverage what happened to increase exposure to you and the issue of abortion itself, to the killing of preborn babies, to the murder that's happening across the country 2,800 times every single day. Because that's what can happen. It draws more attention. The opposition that we're seeing from the pro-abortion side, we can leverage to drive more attention to the pro-life issue, and therefore, continue to make our case in the public square. So as we go forward, once again, we got a couple events coming up that I'd like to draw attention to. The first is on April 28th and 29th. The next Protest PP will take place across the country. If you want to get involved in that, you can go to protestpp.com. That's protestpp.com. And you can sign up your organization or your city to protest Planned Parenthood in your own location. This time we're making it for 2 days, so people have the option as to which day they want to choose. We're giving people the option of what kind of event they'd like to hold. It could be a prayer vigil, could be a traditional protest, a press conference, or any number of things. So go to protestpp.com. Again, the event is April 28th and 29th coming up. The other thing I want to make sure that you're aware of, this is breaking news as of today, and that is that my good friend and colleague Seth Dreher, our director of training at Created Equal, will be debating at Purdue University. That's Purdue University on April 24th, that's 2017, this year, April 24th, Purdue University at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And you see the graphic there on the page right there. We're going to be sending out information on our Facebook page next week, along with email blasts and other media, to make sure that people know across the country to tune in. If they can't attend it in person, to tune in and watch it on Facebook Live. We'll be broadcasting live from Purdue University. That's Fournier Hall, G140, room G140, Monday, April 24th. At Purdue University. Live debate between Seth Dreher, our director of training, and Dr. David Sanders, an associate professor at the at Purdue University. So mark your calendars for that one. Again, April 24th this year, 7 p.m. We'll be coming to you live on Facebook. If you live in the Lafayette area, West Lafayette area in Purdue, make sure you come out and support us, support Seth Dreher as he debates Dr. David Sanders. So we're going to wrap it up now, folks. If you're, make sure that you mark your calendars every Thursday at 1 p.m. Every Thursday, 1 p.m., we'll come to you live here on Facebook on Created Equals page, as well as my own personal page, and these other media platforms, YouTube and on Twitter. So you can also listen to the program, if you choose, on a podcast afterwards. The sound itself, the MP3, is made available for you, and you can listen to that as well anytime you like on your mobile device. So we'll see you next time, Thursday, 1 p.m. every week here on Facebook. Created, coming to you live from Created Equal Studios here in Columbus, Ohio. This is Mark Harrington, your radio activist and voice of resistance, signing off. God bless you. God bless America. And remember, America, to bless God.
You've been listening to Mark Harrington, your radio activist. For more information on how to become a witness against the evil plague in America, call Created Equal at 614-269-7808, 614-269-7808, or go online to createdequal.net, createdequal.net. Be sure to tune to The Mark Harrington Show next time for your marching orders in the culture war.